As I introduce our next presenter, Dr. DeMarc Hixon, please stand up and stretch. It's been an hour that you all have been sitting, and I know that I could use a little stretch, so as I'm introducing him. The presentation is A Change is Gonna Come, Creating a Healthier Mississippi One Community at a Time, through evidence and practice-based policy, environmental, programmatic, and infrastructure interventions. Dr. Hixon currently serves as the Chief Operating Officer of My Brother's Keeper, Inc., which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit, community-based organization headquartered in Ridgeland, Mississippi. My Brother's Keeper is dedicated to the elimination of health disparities and achievement of health equity among vulnerable, underserved, and oftentimes overlooked populations in the state of Mississippi and beyond. Dr. Hixon also serves as the director of the Center for Research, Evaluation, and Environmental and Policy Change, or CREEP, at My Brother's Keeper, as well as he's also an assistant professor at the University of Mississippi Medical Center in the Division of Infectious Diseases. Dr. Hixon's experience and research interests include cardiovascular disease, HIV/AIDS, sociocultural and contextual factors, health education, health promotion, and community-based and health disparities research. To date, he has published over 35 scientific manuscripts in peer-reviewed journals, and he's also a member of several boards and councils, such as the Mississippi Food Policy Council. Great. Welcome, Dr. Hixon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you. I know we just had the stretch, so I know everybody's a little bit more attentive, but I am the last presenter for today, so it's kind of befitting for Mississippi because we are the IST state, so we're last. So it was very interesting to hear that we're not last in high school graduation rates. But everything else, you know, we're kind of last. We kind of get used to it. But I just wanted to give a talk that is from our work with our community transformation grants. And if you know a little bit of history about Mississippi or even within some music history, then you know A Change is Going to Come. It was with Sam Cooke, who was actually born in Clarksdale, Mississippi. So and moving Mississippi from last or first and worst health, so I thought that was very becoming for the presentation. So as with all, I have no relationships to disclose. And so just as a brief outline, we'll give some background about My Brother's Keeper, tell you who we are, and a little bit about the community transformation grants for those who may not be aware. To give a little brief background of the state of health of Mississippi and kind of some of the factors that exacerbate some of the poor health outcomes in the state, then to actually talk about our community transformation grant, which is kind of right after the song from Sam Cooke, is Project Change and creating a healthier Mississippi one community at a time. To then look at some of the work that we've been doing within our CTG and highlighting some of the work of our various partners, look at some of our successes, and then where we're going to go from here. So just a little bit about My Brother's Keeper, and I love to brag about our wonderful staff. Our mission is to reduce health disparities among underserved, underinsured, and underinsured populations. So I'm looking at those that are oftentimes overlooked. So that's minority communities and others like the LGBT community as well. We have 29 full-time FTE, including recently added two medical doctors and several part-time staff. So we actually have several young public health practitioners, many that are in undergraduate school that serve as our peer educators. So we've been working to improve health in the state of Mississippi through effective and tireless efforts in these variety of approaches, and many I think I listed in my bio. So I think I was listening to one of my faculty advisors, and he said, well, after you read about 20 papers on it, you're an expert in the field. So that's why that list gets a little longer. But within My Brother's Keeper, we're composed of three centers. Two that are not listed here are our recently opened Open Arms Healthcare Center, which is the first LGBTI health center in the state of Mississippi that was opened on February 7th of this year on the National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. Then we have our Center for Community-Based Programs, where many of our prevention efforts and our interventions are conducted, and then where our Community Transformation Grant is housed is in our Center for Research, Evaluation, and Environmental Policy Change, which is CREEP. So that's kind of our acronym for that. And plus, we're tucked away since we do work with sensitive, vulnerable populations. It is in a very discrete location, so that's kind of how that all came about. But just briefly about our community transformation grants, it was created by the Affordable Care Act, and then within the Affordable Care Act with the Prevention Public Health Fund, and is supported and administered by the CDC. And here's a web link if you want some more information. But the purpose of the community transformation grant is to implement these broad evidence and practice-based systems changes. So using kind of like the social theory model, where it's looking at broader levels that are above the individual level to impact health and to bring about healthier lifestyles and healthier communities. So within the Community Transformation Grant Program, there are five strategic directions that grantees are to address, with three being required, and those three being tobacco-free living, healthy eating and active living, and high-impact quality clinical and other preventive services. But we've encompassed all five, because in order to have a healthy eating and active living, then you need to have a healthy and safe environment. So as one of the attendees here was mentioning about the bike lanes, if you want to increase physical activity but you don't have the ability to actually engage in physical activity or the structures to do that, then how can you actually increase active living? And similarly with the social and emotional wellness, especially as we see the increase in interpartner violence as well as bullying among adolescents. So we kind of have developed a program that includes all of these five strategic directions to really look at eliminating health disparities and achieving health equity in the state of Mississippi. So this is a map that depicts the various funded awardees within the Community Transformation Grant Program, where there was, I believe, 35 implementation grantees and 25 capacity building grantees. So my brother's keeper was awarded a capacity building award, and it's a statewide award that will look to implement various interventions throughout the state of Mississippi. Well, to actually increase capacity and to hopefully transition to implementation to implement these various evidence and practice-based strategies. So as we all know, because I'm sure in different grants or in papers you reference Mississippi or compare your state to Mississippi, so you know that in Mississippi, so you know you're always better than somebody. And if it's not us, it's Alabama or Louisiana, so the Deep South. But the CVD mortality rate is the highest in the nation, 30% higher than the national average, and heart disease and stroke account for over a third of those deaths in the state. We rank second in diabetes prevalence, with 12% of the population having type 2 diabetes. And we also have the highest hypertension prevalence in the nation, with treatment and control that are less than optimal. So, continuing these trends, when we look at obesity, we see that over the past 20 years that the prevalence, for at least on the national level, has tripled from 1990 to 2010. But I always like to say, as we look at Mississippi, we are always the state that invents the new color on the map. So if you see how it shifts, but then they just make us feel good by doing all of the South. But we know that we have the highest rate. So looking at that, we see that nearly two-thirds of the adult population are either overweight or obese, and over one-third of youth are also overweight or obese. So some of the things I want to talk about are really looking at those factors that contribute to obesity, because, well, one of the pieces of the Community Transformation Grant was to reduce obesity by 5%, reduce hypertension by 5%. So when we were awarded, we're like, okay, is this really going to be realistic for Mississippi? So what is our 5% going to look like? So we really wanted to look at it on the local level as well. But some of the components of the Community Transformation Grant was we had to develop an 8 to 10 member leadership team. So this team was really to help the strategic direction of the program. And so it's a cross-sector team. We have representatives from our health department. We have a mayor that's from a rural area in Mississippi. We have a youth member. We have one of our philanthropic foundations, one of their program officers that sits on this leadership team. We have a director from our local health department, the president of our Mississippi Primary Health Care Association, which is the association for all of our federally qualified health care centers. So you see that as a diverse representation on our leadership team, and I would be remiss to not mention our member of our band of Choctaw Indians as well. So that's been one that has been that has really come forward, especially through all of our partnerships and really wanting to improve the health in Mississippi. Then also one of our other requirements was to strengthen or establish health-related coalitions. This was not one thing that we were very fond of because you always hear about coalitions. So there's a coalition to sweep the street. There's a coalition to help get our PTAs involved, health councils for the PTA. So we really wanted to build networks of individuals that were doing work or had interest to do work within our strategic directions. So, for example, within our tobacco-free living, our health department funds about 30 Mississippi tobacco-free coalitions already. Then they also fund 9 cancer coalitions who do tobacco-related work. And then we have other local health department coalitions as well as school coalitions and PTAs that are preventing tobacco use on campuses. So we wanted to build these networks of these coalitions and other activists and advocates to further the work within these strategic directions. So we kind of changed that word to networks. And then we have to link with other efforts and activities. So if you could think about how building these partnerships and getting everybody to talk instead of, well, I'm going to do this on Street A and I'm going to do something on Street B, why not come together? And we could have a bigger impact together. Then also as a capacity building grantee, we had to really understand the health and the epidemiology of health in the state and to develop some type of planning plan for to address these different health outcomes in the state. So we did various secondary data analyses, and we actually did a community health assessment within each of our 82 counties. So we funded different agencies and organizations to actually help us in disseminating this these health assessments. So we use this information to actually move us towards this community transformation implementation plan, which, as I stated earlier, was within one of the requirements for, well, which is part of the community transformation plan grant. Excuse me. You can come in as a capacity building grantee, and then if you met all of these requirements, you could transition to a implementation grantee, where similar to the HUD, you can get a larger pool of money to be able to implement these different interventions. And then you have to also, along with that, similar to HUD, we have to develop a community transformation implementation plan and then do performance monitoring and evaluation. So I just want to give a bit of our findings and our work from our multi-tier community health assessment. And we really, when looking at the data sources that are available, you really get things that are on a state level or on a or some information on a county level. So this is where we wanted to really have it be multi-tier. So we actually funded our health department to really update our mortality or their state of the health report. And so this, so as you can see, this is a map that depicts the age-adjusted mortality rates for heart disease by county for the years 2005 to 2010. So we're really trying to get this information to establish some baseline data. And the region that is highlighted in the red circle or oval is the Mississippi Delta region. So if you know anything about Mississippi, that's the region that really has like the lowest life expectancy in the nation. So we drilled down a little further through this health assessment where we disseminated 200 of these assessments. And of course, you know, as a researcher, I want to add every question I can in the book. So it turned out kind of long, but we actually are in the process of still getting quite a few of them back. So of the 16,000 to date, we've gotten back about 7,000. So if we look at some of the risk factors for heart disease, we can see that we have a prevalence of obesity that aligns really with the region or within the high rates of the age-adjusted the age-adjusted mortality rates in the Mississippi Delta. So by giving this information and thinking about the limited funds that we have, we can actually now do targeted interventions within the region, so we can use these healthy eating or active living interventions to address obesity in this never eat shredded wheat, the western region of Mississippi, or even the eastern and southwestern region the state of Mississippi. So if we look at other factors that, of course, Mississippi leads in, this is a map of age-adjusted mortality rate for diabetes by county. And again, we see that the Mississippi Delta has some of the highest rates in the state as well as in the nation. So if we think about those risk factors that are associated with diabetes, one that we don't always think about, or one that is emerging, is sleep apnea. So obesity leading to sleep apnea, also contributing to diabetes. So we can see, and actually one interesting thing, a lot of people didn't know what sleep apnea was, so that was a lot of the comments. So one of the things that we did in a follow-up within a few of the counties was just ask the question, do you snore? And so, which is a major thing. So there's some clinical decision rules that take into consideration snoring age, BMI age, and like one more sleep symptom. So we're using all that information to really look at those factors that we can address within the program and do some targeted work on the local level in many of our counties. So looking at some of the initiatives that are within our healthy eating initiative and those that we're looking to pilot with some of the small funds that we have as a capacity building grantee are school-based and youth-led community gardens. And this has actually been, has really taken off where we actually had our first teaching garden to be recognized in the city of Jackson, which is the first in the state that's located at Davis Magnet. And that's the picture to the right is the sign and several other raised beds with my program manager posing in the picture. She still got in there. I didn't see her. So, but some of the other novel approaches that we're looking at is doing school-based farmers markets. So within many of our high schools in the state, they have agricultural-based curricula. And so really building on that, where we can look at developing greenhouses and aquaponic systems or hydroponic systems where those systems can produce 900 pounds of food, depending on how large they are. So then getting the agriculture or the FFA partner with the FBLA or the Future Farmers of America, partnering with the Future Business Leaders of America, develop these farmers markets and really get into agribusiness. And so then also looking at farm to school and ocean to school initiatives. So if you know, like unlike me, where I'm bad in geography, Mississippi is located on the Gulf of Mexico, so we have a lot of the seafood industry. So thinking about how to get seafood into the school. And then sodium reduction in school meals, where Mississippi has really led the nation and has already established a number of good initiatives to reduce sodium in school meals. So then thinking about those active living initiatives, so that energy in, energy out concept for obesity, look at to establish formal joint use agreements. So yes, Mississippi is trying to keep up with some of the nations. So we actually have about 25 formal agreements between various schools throughout Mississippi, and we've actually had much work, a number of bills that have been passed at the legislative level that have actually support the development of joint use agreements. Then to also look at physical education in schools. So in Mississippi, it's really getting where we're educating based on the standard. So looking at that state test, so teaching based on that, but really to bring in physical education back in the schools and even into many of our early child care programs, because there's that literature that shows increased physical activity being linked with academic performance. And so looking at other ways to increase physical activity, especially among community members and the youth, so looking at safe routes to school programs as well as walking groups. And there's one group that was actually started by a football player in Shelby, Mississippi, and he started a bike club. And so if you can think about Mississippi, a lot of the state is very rural, so their bike lane is the road. So, but it's a group of 15, and you will actually see even these big tractors that will stop and let the kids pass on the bike, and then they'll keep going. So looking at these things and kind of outfitting it for the state of Mississippi. So just to highlight some of the work of many of our partners, we funded Delta Fresh Foods Initiative to develop 8 school gardens and to do several farm-to-school programs. So this is just some of their work that's highlighted. They did raised beds at one of the local elementary schools in the Mississippi Delta. a farm to school program this year during the farm to school week, which was one of our recent successes to get that passed in the state legislature. And then this is just some of the food in the lower left corner of some of the guys from Clarksdale High School who actually raised okra and squash and sold it at the local farmers market. And then this is another one of our subgrantees, which is a community development center in Greenville, Mississippi, who actually built a orchard, a greenhouse, and the raised beds. And so within the state of Mississippi, in each county, there's a community development center. And at these centers, they allow for community residents to come in, apply for jobs, use their facilities, and things like that. So we're just like, if they're in the community, they're being used for community. I think this can be a community-based garden. So we wanted to pilot some of that here, so you can see how the community was really involved, and these are just some of the pictures from some of their raised beds. And so as you can see, we had youth from about 2 to 3 years old all the way up into some more of our seniors. So then to highlight one of our own projects, which is a Jumpstart Jackson project, which was funded by the Active Living by Design program of the Robert Wood Johnson, where it really looked at educating students about safe routes to schools. That's one of our coordinators on the far left doing an actual skit of the health education program. That's about we're walking, and it talks about stopping at the red light, looking both ways, and the like. So really looking at moving the Safe Routes to School program. Then we also had a community garden initiative, which actually was in a neighborhood that had a lot of seniors. So it was very, so over time they were just said, I can't bend over anymore. So now we're in the process of raising the beds off of the ground to where it's about waist high. So really getting them involved. And then we were able to pass a green space ordinance in the city of Jackson, to where if a partner adopts the park, they can institute other changes. So I know we adopted Battlefield Park and actually built a football field where we installed bleachers, the field goals, and also the soccer goals, because on Saturdays the Latino community uses it for soccer during the week. You have youth football programs. So we wanted to be able to allow partners who could support it to actually get it installed, because the city of Jackson said if you get it installed, we'll maintain it. So we'll look to see those things as we go. And one of our most recent grantees is Jefferson County High School, and they actually have a agriculture curriculum. So we're piloting the greenhouse / aquaponic system to develop the farmers market at the school, as well as a joint use agreement. So we went down and visited with the superintendent, and he told us that the community came in, they wanted some place to work out. But it was originally for the football team, because they wanted to be like the neighboring county. So they came in, and this is actually a facility with the weight room for the boys and the girls, their volleyball team and football team. And right behind the building is the football field and the track. Then across the street is a fairly qualified healthcare center. So we're like, why don't we make this where you can come to the farmer's market, you can work out around the track, get screened at the health department, because we also have a program that's called Know Your Numbers. So your BMI, blood pressure, cholesterol, glucose, and HIV status. So that's our partner. And then this is the city of Canton, Mississippi, where they actually implemented the Know Your Numbers campaign among all of their city employees. So around the table in the lower left and upper right are the firefighters. And then so each week they had to come in and get their blood pressure screened, and then every other week to come to the local FQHC to have their blood pressure and cholesterol measured. So really looking at that campaign and encouraging cities to encourage their employees to be healthy and to reduce their health care costs. So just to run briefly through some of our successes, because I'm probably running short on time, is that we have implemented several annual statewide training conferences. So as a capacity building grantee, we have to do that, so training others. So this, in just a few days, and my phone has been blowing up for that, is we're hosting our second annual Farm to School Conference, where we are inviting all of our food service directors and growers from across the state to come in, as well as other key stakeholders, to really have networking opportunities and to walk away with actually a contract that says, I will purchase from your school or I will buy from you. And then we partner with our local health department and several of their CDC-funded programs to offer a Transforming Health Education Training Conference in January, where we're going to bring in over 300 key stakeholders from all of our non-public health districts. And so one of the big initiatives that CDC is having is to really start to leverage these funds and to not keep doing the same thing or to bring all these resources together. So one of the things that our health department is doing is actually going through accreditation, so they have to get all this community input and other things, as well as they want to train their health educators who can develop partnerships in all of our health districts. So we said, why not bring in the health educators, all the community groups, decision makers, and so within this training conference, we're going to have national experts come in, as well as others across the state that's been doing work, and they'll have district breakouts. And within these breakouts, to actually have action planning, so coming up with some type of plan to implement these various evidence and practice-based interventions in their local communities. Then we've actually funded some of our local institutions who have communications departments. Most notably is Tougaloo College, who was gifted a local television station, so they were put into the will of philanthropists, excuse me. And so we're working with a number of their undergraduates to document the health and just to develop a Mississippi story. So hopefully that'll be one of our good pieces that we can push from that. And then we do various community forums across the state. So we actually wrote and were funded a small grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Active Voice to look at food insecurity in the state. So there's a documentary called A Place at the Table. So that's another piece that's a community forum and then talks about developing an action plan to decreasing food insecurity and really making a healthy environment in local communities. So we've hosted several across the state and have several more that will be coming up. And as a part of this, and as one of the mantras for My Brother's Keeper, is that we really look at working to eliminate health disparities through true partnership. And that's where you bring something to the table and I bring something to the table, and everybody together, collectively working together to bring this to improve health. So we get past the budget. Everybody sees the budget. Most times it's granted. Well, who's going to hold the money in? Okay, let's not even put an indirect in there. Oh, wait a minute now. Let's talk about this again. So for those who know budgets and indirects, and that's basically the crux of who's going to get that piece. So we've partnered, as I just stated, we partnered with the health department for this upcoming training, the Mississippi Food Policy Council, and actually one of our local state representatives to host the Farm to School Conference. We've passed approximately 30 comprehensive smoke-free policies covering over a quarter of the Mississippi population. So it's difficult. Well, I wouldn't say it's difficult, but when you pass one in a city that only has a population of 500, it's really not making a big percentage-wise on our population of nearly 3 million, but it is a very big success. Worked with the legislature to pass two recent bills, the Farm to School Week, which is the first week of October, and also Farmers Market. So this authorizes city and county officials to donate funds to support or to establish or expand farmers markets in their various jurisdictions. And I need to say this last comment, because we have been talked about this over and over, that these funds were not used for lobbying or to influence directly or indirectly any piece of legislation. So any CDC officials or anybody else, we just want to assure you that we did not. So others, we did House Bill 540, which allows the school property to be used by the public, so supports our joint use agreements. Recently passed a smoke-free Meridian Housing Authority, so smoke-free multi-unit housing in the eastern part of Mississippi. And hopefully we'll have a paper that will be published in Preventing Chronic Diseases soon that was among our nearly 200 fruit and vegetable growers in the state of Mississippi to really look at the barriers and motivators for participating in farm to school. So this is just some about the childhood obesity epidemic. We wanted to highlight that. And Mississippi is actually 49th now. We're not 50th. So we're not the, so we're a tough state now. So some next steps, looking at piloting more of these evidence and practice-based interventions, establishing and expanding partnerships, securing additional funding, and to really look at these robust systems changes. Wanted to acknowledge my co-authors and staff and boss as well, Program Manager Ms. Abdul-Haq, our Project Officer Shamir Lee and Honore Ard, Evaluator Dantrell Simmons, and present CEO of My Brother's Keeper, Dr. June Gibson. So here's my contact information, and just want to say thank you.